Welcome to Turning the Table, the most progressive weekly podcast for today's food and beverage industry, featuring staff-centric operating solutions for restaurants in the hashtag New Hospitality Culture. Join Jim Taylor of Benchmark 60 and Adam Lamb as they turn the tables on the prevailing operating assumptions of running a restaurant in favor of innovative solutions to our industry's most persistent challenges. Thanks for joining us. And now, on to the show.
Welcome to another episode of Turning the Table. It's me, Adam Lamb, once again with our good friend Jim Taylor from Benchmark 60. Jim, welcome.
Hey, Adam. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And in our luxurious green room, we have our very good friend, Jay Ashton from the SVK Network. I'll go ahead and bring him in.
Hey.
Morning, Jay.
How you doing?
I am very well. How are you, sir?
Good.
I just wanted to welcome Jay. He is a fellow podcaster and the host and of the SVK, the Cisco podcast, which is the only food service hospitality podcast that I know of that actually streams daily. Is that correct?
Yep.
Fantastic. And Jim, you and Jay have a long time association, do you not?
Yeah, we've done lots of fun stuff together before. But Jay, it's good to have you on. No pun intended here. Turn the tables a little bit. Have you on our show?
Yeah. So we want you to like, follow, and comment on the show. Your comments are very often kind of giving us the juice as far as the conversation that goes. And today we're going to be talking with Jay about this very, very thing effort around. And I think this is produced by The Brick. Is that not, Jay?
Actually, it's under my brand.
Is it?
Yeah, it's under my brand, which is the first time I've kind of went off and tried something with my brand, what I've done with the industry. So yeah, it's The Brick is a part of it. They're going to sponsor and be a part of it. So yeah, first time.
And so this is called the Staff Chair Project. And I think the tagline is turning staff break rooms into wellness rooms. And having spent a long time in the back of the house in my career, I can tell you that most of the break rooms I've been a party of have been little more than, you know, some lockers and a central bench and a bag of stinky clothes. So not necessarily what I call geared towards wellness.
We all laugh at it because they're all the same. They're broken chairs. You know, our logo has a milk crate on it. They're milk crates. They're upside down oil pails. They're, you know, the furniture that broke out one night, you know, broken chair from the lot or from the bar, the old booth. You know, there's some old booths in there and all that. And that's where we, you know, the graveyard of our good furniture live or is in those rooms. So, you know, this is an initiative. I can't take credit for the idea. I'm just going to put it across Canada. We're going to start really looking at it. Now, can I start telling you why?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Jim knows I can talk. And I don't have to do anything this time, which is awesome. Thank you again.
Yeah, we just want to hear about it.
So here's the idea. Is that I have done hundreds and hundreds of interviews over the last few years, restaurateurs all over the globe, and mental illness comes up all the time. Like I can't even imagine how many shows I've had on the subject. And I'm very grateful that we have now brought it up as a forefront of a subject within our industry. We talk about it. It's becoming very easy now to talk about it and address it. But I haven't seen too many actions applied or things done to do or help with it. It's like we're keep talking and talking and talking, which is good. I thought, well, let's do something. So I was going through, I think it was LinkedIn or Facebook or whatever social channel, and a restaurant down in, I think it was Washington, and I apologize if I get their location wrong, changed their staff room into a wellness room. And I'm like, this is brilliant. Like you said, all those horror stories of those years working in kitchens and those staff, and Jim knows that we could do this. So I put out a call to furniture companies across Canada, and the Brick stepped up to be a partner with me and to start transforming restaurants' rooms and the staff rooms into wellness rooms and just really give them a new look, a new feel. And do something in a sense for mental illness. It was like an action. You know, we'll keep talking about it. We'll just talk ourselves, keep talking forever about it and play an actual physical place or a space that people can go to. And we all know, and Jim, you probably even know this in your days in the industry too, is you'll see servers having a bad day and they put that face on and then they go out and they have their break and they'll come into the staff room and go back into their horrible world. Mm-hmm. And we just think that, you know, why don't we make that a space that isn't that bad for them just to hang out? You know, it might be a place, we know people come in early sometimes for shifts or they stay late after, that it's a place that they can feel that we're doing something for their mental health. So that's really the gist of it. It's simple. It can be done. We're looking for 3 locations to start this fall and winter to get it out there. We've had some inquiries already.
I'm sure.
Wanting to get on board with this. And the Brick has been outstanding in supporting the idea. And I know we're going to. I want to leave a legacy also in the industry of changing, doing something. I can't get my name on a menu. You know, they say the Shirley Temple, but I want to do something in a sense that I, you know, did something that I left this industry, you know, many years, hopefully down the road, that I leave this world, leaving something in the industry a lot.
And it's so today, the association with the Brick, obviously furniture is a part of it, right? Because you and I were kind of joking about this last time we were talking about it, that people have tried to make, you know, improve those spaces before, but usually it's, like you said, they bring a piece of furniture from the dining room or the couch from somebody's apartment that they don't want anymore, right? The beat up couch where fruit flies live. So furniture is part of it, but what else are you guys going to do? What else is part of the industry?
Well,
is it a contest? Is it, you know, what are they, how do people get involved?
Well, I think
so. So can I just jump in and ask for a little context, because some of our non-Canadian viewers/listeners may not necessarily be familiar with the Brick. So I think a little context would help kind of ground the conversation about not only what you're trying to do, but where this initiative is kind of born from. And I know, Jay, to your point, that you especially want to call out a couple people from the Brick who specifically have been kind of behind this initiative, right?
Exactly. So the Brick is Canada's largest furniture retailer. I don't know how you say that, but they have the most, they're everywhere in Canada. They've been a staple for Canada forever. They're located everywhere across the country. And they also have, which is a surprise to me until I started working with them, is they have a commercial side of the business as well. So they supply restaurants and hospitals and hospitality locations for furniture, for dining rooms and for their kitchens and everything. So great opportunity to get their brand out there into our industry as well, to make sure that people know that Brick is not just for your home, but also for your workplace as well. So, but yeah, it's good call out, Adam. People are talking about a Brick. It's confused a few people already, but yes, it's a furniture company across Canada and they're brilliant. And I thank them hugely for stepping up and being a part of this. So, and I think for the US market, we can start there as well and start transforming these spaces into wellness rooms.
Yeah. So cool. So Jay, so give us a little bit more information about it. Is it like a competition or is it a contest? Does someone have to send photos of how, you know, is it renovation shows? Like how's the whole
thing? Yeah. It's the Jim Taylor renovation show. No, it is really. Yeah, exactly. We want people to send photos in to us so they can. They can go to LinkedIn, send it to me. They can email it to me, but on LinkedIn's probably easiest. And send us photos of what their staff rooms look like, who they are, where they're located. Like say, it could be anywhere in the US as well. Well, I'm sure we'll figure out how to do that down there, but we'll definitely look at them, see what we can do to help them. And then we want to pick 3, like the 3 winners to start with this year. And then we'll go from there and see what we can create and help.
So is this kind of like, you're looking for 3 particular operations who are willing to take this challenge on. Are there any parameters by which you want to like, what do you see to be kind of central elements behind changing what used to be kind of a crappy, smelly space into a place where someone can actually take a deep breath, and whether that's 10 minutes of meditation or just some quiet time. And before you jump into that, Jay, I just wanted to kind of highlight this comment that we just got in the chat, which is, I have to say, my time at Apple changed my view of break rooms, which are really well thought out. My view of what's possible and necessary has not been the same since. So clearly this is a timely conversation for sure.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's awesome. You know what? I think we have to go we'll have to go basis by basis, Adam, on that. We have to make sure that location understands we're doing this, not just so they get a fresh new staff room, what it's applying, that it's not fixing, but helping with the mental illness that's broadly across our industry immensely. So we want to make sure that they're on board with that, that they want to help their staff out and their folks that work at their locations with tackling this craziness we have within mental illness within our industry. So we want to make sure that they're on board with that. And then we also make sure that they're going to support it. They're going to take care of it as well. It's not going to turn into what it was mm-hmm. 6 months later. And they're out there advocating for the mental illness that's, you know, like I said, everywhere within our industry. So those are kind of really that simple as we're going to look at. We don't want to say it's for this kind or this kind. This will blow your mind. I saw a restaurant 2 weeks ago. I was in a city here in Canada, a different part. And he took me down to a staff room. And brand new restaurant, you know what a staff room was? A table. And I looked at the table and it was like an old dining room kitchen table, you know, like probably from a house back in the 80s that just beat up. Kitchen. I'm like, because I asked him, I said, where's your staff room? He's like, oh, I got this tray here. It's a table, dude. And he's like, yeah, it's a table. So I thought there for a sec, and Jim knows how creative I am. I'm like, I could even make this table better. Right? So it doesn't have to be a big, huge staff room or room. It could be a bloody table as well, right? So we could do anything, like make the table, maybe put candles on it, maybe put them around your table and put a picture up behind it. Maybe we can put some reading material on it, you know, channels to a podcast, whatever it is. They don't think we can we can say it has to be this or that. We could, I think, work with every location and your user creativity to make sure that we're addressing what we're trying to address by doing something.
So it's not just about furniture, right?
No, that's just exactly it, Jim. It's not about that, right? And it's not, well, you know, it's, I think it helps, but when you see action being applied to something that is, you know, mental illness or whatever we want to have within this space, someone applying an activity or an action to something to address it, I think speaks more than just us always talking about it, but not doing something about it.
Yeah. You know, Adam and I talk a lot about, and our whole sort of purpose in this, you know, discussion every week is about people-centric type discussions, right? And some solutions for operators that can help to improve this sort of employee experience, right? And so Jay, when you and I were talking about this last week, I mean, that's why we wanted to have you here to have sort of this discussion. It's such a people-centric piece. It's so many restaurants, you know, in my experience, it's not a revenue-generating center. So it becomes this tiny tucked away in the corner. What's the least amount of space we can give in order to make sure we check the box of the staff area, but don't lose revenue space, right? I mean, I've worked in some restaurants that had 100 staff working at the same time, you know, and their staff area is 10 by 10. I mean, it just doesn't, you know, it just doesn't work. So I think what you're doing is very cool.
You know, it's interesting you say that, Jim, because I always say in the kitchen, in a restaurant, the front of the house is where you spend most of your time thinking about when you're designing it. The kitchen maybe gets a little attention. Then your office for your kitchen even gets less, right? If you can get an office. And then your staff room is the last you think about, right? Like it's the last thing. So it doesn't necessarily get the love. And it can't be a 10 by 10 for 100 people. And then I've seen them. I've seen them over my 32 years in the industry. I have seen some horrific places. And you just need to apply something to change those. Change it and use it as a place to discuss these objects. And imagine if you have this and we do one of your staff rooms into a wellness room and your staff is having a hard time and they sit down with the management or your ownership or your chef. Have that place to have that discussion that feels comfortable and safe, right? We need to create great places for these people. And we have these rooms or whatever it is, we can make it happen. And I really think it's, and here's the thing too, it doesn't cost a fortune, right? So you always got to look at that.
Nope.
You look at these things. Anything you implement in anything, if it's too expensive, it ain't going to go. We know that.
Yeah.
So you need to know it doesn't cost a lot. I'm in a green room, they call it here in Toronto, and it's full of bricks and stuff, but it's pretty cool and nice in here, right? So, and it's probably was a closet once. So,
you know, maybe to illustrate your point, Jay, I spent the last 2 years of my career working in senior living. And so there's already kind of an overarching focus on health and wellness within that environment. But like you say, very often it feels like, you know, for the staff, it's kind of whatever crumbs are left over. And we were blessed with, it was Episcopalian, so there's a little chapel on premise. And we had a couple folks who heard to the flock. And one of them took it upon herself during COVID to actually take over the bar space and turn it into kind of like this real cool kind of Zen space where it was kind of non-denominational. It was the lighting was dimmed. There were a couple different areas where people could sit depending on what they were drawn to. There were some books to pick up, but generally it was a space specifically for the staff to, especially during that time when you have 650 folks under your care that are all at 100% risk, not including them, but also, you know, 1,200 staff members. You know, they recognized pretty quickly on that they needed a space where staff members could just kind of check out for 10 minutes. And I think it's interesting to point out that, you know, there was no timer on the door, right? Or a clock in that space. So when someone says, hey, I need to take 5, you know, that might be 30 or 20, but nobody's going to go in there and, you know, hey, okay, click, 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 time's up. We got to get going because it kind of defeats the whole purpose. And to your point, it doesn't take a whole lot of space, but certainly the ambiance is absolutely critical. And to make it non-denominational where folks can, you know, feel good dropping in, and even if it's just sitting quietly or to pick up a book of wisdom or whatever, it was pretty cool. I used it a couple times, but I was already preaching about self-care during that time with me and my staff. So they knew that, you know, they could go walk on the grounds, and maybe that wellness space actually uses the outside environment to be part of that. And I know that a lot of restaurants in the, especially in Canada, are in kind of not industrial complexes, but certainly retail spaces. And there's a lot of concrete and not a lot of grass. But certainly if there's the opportunity to, you know, step outside and walk for 15 minutes in another environment, that also could count, could it not?
I think you nailed it, Adam. That environment outside and getting the fresh air and getting out there, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's an interesting one, Adam, because, you know, I don't think most people, and myself included, didn't think immediately about outside when you talk about staff space. But, you know, how many times have you either seen or been a part of the sitting outside, having your break on a milk crate next to the grease?
That was good.
Dumb, right? That's not any more pleasant than sitting on the third generation couch full of fruit flies. So,
well,
it's the keg in the back, the same old keg, or the greasy spill by the grease trap.
Oh, the aroma brings back memories.
Shoulder cord.
Adam's down here. It's flying back.
Yeah. Right. And you know what? It's interesting why you say that, is that they're probably doing that because the staff room probably is not.
It's worse.
It's probably worse, right? So, yeah. You know, if we can. You know, I think the thing is also, I think it sends a message to the oil industry is that we're listening, we're hearing you, we're going to do something. And I think that needs, when you look as an owner and you have chefs in here and you have your staff and they see them doing something for that subject, it makes it like we're listening, you're hearing you, we want to do something, we're applying something here. And I think it'd be really good for retention. I don't know if it was you, Jim, or someone else who's mentioned that to me the other day. This will help with retention. And we know that's important in our industry today, and that leads to growth, right? And that leads to better business, right?
So I was kind of trying to pick your brain a little bit about this the other day when we were chatting, and maybe we could get into it a little bit here too. But so what's the criteria? Is it, you know, you're going to have, I know for sure you're going to have hundreds, if not thousands of inquiries about this. I mean, as soon as, not only Canada, wait till this gets to the US too. But is it, you know, like, is the restaurant that gets the opportunity to work on this with you, is it, you know, they have the worst looking staff area? Is it they're the certain type of business? Is it just their attitude, that the right attitude you're looking for around collaboration? I'm really curious, you know, what's the vetting process for,
well, I think
who's going to have the opportunity?
Yeah. And I think we'll have to go through that, Jim, one by one, because we also want to make sure, like, I really want to make sure that they understand that this is about helping and supporting mental illness. Like, so it's not just that, or the Jim Reno show. Or Jay Reno show, right?
Is that what Jay Reno show?
Yeah, exactly. Which could it be? But we want to make sure that it's applying to, you know, that they're on board with what the overall purpose is of this. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to go one by one, because like I said, from a table that I think we can help that location out just by redoing a table to win these big, you know, a bigger, you know, a retailer, you know, bigger restaurant style location. So I think we have to go one by one on that. We have to, you know, meet with them, talk with them, so they're on board, and then get our brick people over there to help and see what we can do to help them out. And it's going to be, you know, it even to a point I was thinking about this too, is that maybe some of their stuff wants to be a part of the reno when we do the reno for these staff rooms, where we're painting the brick walls like you see behind me, or we're just, you know, maybe they want to be a part of that too. And sometimes that becomes therapeutic in a way, hey, as well, that we're doing something to apply to what people are struggling with. And talk about making it forefront is when you go in there and say, look what we did to help tackle mental illness or support it or help with it. Look what we did. See, like you can see it and you can sit in it and you can enjoy it. So we got to do it. I think we got to do stuff like this more and more.
So I just wanted to kind of pivot back to a comment that we got on our LinkedIn chat by our good friend and partner, Chris Boucher, where he's talking about Apple and his view of break room, which really thought out. And Chris, if you're still watching, I'd love you to chime back in and maybe give us one or two pointers of what that space impact, like how it impacted you and what were those elements that really spoke to you? Because that may give, you know, folks who are considering doing this, you know, a place to start, right? I mean, yes, we know we need to clean things up and we need to make things kind of pretty. But aside from that, you know, we can learn from other industries. I mean, that's the great thing about the hospitality industry is we seem to be really, really good at co-opting great ideas, no matter what industry they are, vis-a-vis, you know, the benchmark 60 productivity metric, which for most industrial organizations have been used for years, but for some reason never caught on in the restaurant industry until Jim started banging the gong about that. So yeah, I'm interested by anybody. Let me see here if I got this. And we're going to just kind of put up one more comment. Was anywhere I've been a leader, I have a rule. If my people ever get overwhelming feelings, they have the autonomy to tell their supervisor or colleague they're taking 10 and to let them take a 10-minute walk outside on the clock to reset them. It's worked wonders. And I think that's great. And I would ask, you know, what do you do in those crunch time moments when you can't really afford to let somebody off to take 10 minutes, you know, because we're in this cycle of, you know, the restaurant gets full and now it's time to jump to action. And then there's a little bit of lag time. So how does a manager actually, an operator actually manage the expectations of the customer as well as the associate? So, and that's from our good friend, Doug Newkirk. So Jay.
I got to jump in on that.
Please.
Like we can even set a standard that maybe because the staff room used to be always that place where you are shovel your food in.
Oh yeah.
You know, back in the day when you could smoke in restaurants, it was where the smoke room was. All these different things was where you thought you had to stay there. And so maybe some locations can't let their staff eat premise. That's okay. But I love the fact that people mention that, you know, they take a 10-minute wellness walk or get out there and get some fresh air. And it probably, in a sense, that 10 minutes just going for a quick walk, maybe you suggest, hey, walk to so-and-so's, you know, park or whatever's by your restaurant. But I'm going to say that 10-minute wellness walk, let's say, or in a wellness room, will probably increase your sales from that server or whoever it is, or productivity from the chefs or the culinary team will back immensely because, like you said, you get that fresh, take a breathe, and you're resetting, opposed to sitting in that, you know, that environment that you're, you know, there's still kind of, you know, not happy at that moment in those places. I'm not going to say they're kanji, but, you know, you're usually here. And then they're probably, you know, what happens is you have four servers sitting there. Let's say they're taking their 10 minutes altogether. Typically, they're not talking about rainbows and roses, right? So they're doing the opposite, right? So I think the more that we can encourage, you know, either sitting in a wellness room or going for a wellness walk for their breaks will actually increase productivity, probably increase sales. It's always looking at how to do that. And that will, I can almost guarantee I can see it. You reset, here you go for your second half of your shift, or, you know, here you go back into the craziness of the restaurant. I bet you increase the sales.
For sure. I think that so much of this stuff, Jay, is attitude driven too, right? I mean, whether it's, let's look at what the staff area, how that's set up. Let's look at the 10-minute wellness walk. Let's look at any of those things. You know, there's going to, I think, naturally be people who go, I don't know if that's possible. I don't know if we can afford it. I don't know how you're going to cover a section off or a station. But You know, it's things like, you know, other industries have implemented these, you know, unlimited vacation, for example. I mean, at some point, someone was like, that's not possible. You know, we can't run the business that way. And so people figured it out. So I think this, there's just an attitude around taking better care of and protecting people and employee experience that you're onto something here.
Hey, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. And I think I'm compelled to throw my hat in the ring, Jay. So maybe this is a conversation for offline, but if you're looking to somebody to kind of anchor the process in the United States, I would love to, I'd love to have a conversation about that because, you know, we're all in it together. So the more we get into it and, you know, Jim and I have had these long ranging conversations about kind of non-traditional benefits as a tool for not only retention, but also as a point of differentiation in making a particular operation, you know, the preferred employer, because everybody knows, hey, they get taken really good care of that there. So I
brilliant ideas.
Exactly. But I, you know, I really wanted to applaud you for, you know, putting your foot in it and stepping in the circle and taking on this challenge. I have no doubt that there are going to be that, you know, you might be in for it a little bit because, you know, you asked for 3, you could have 30. So
you could have 300.
Here's hoping. Because, you know, if that's, you know, 50 to 60 associates per unit, that's a whole lot of people who are getting regular doses of a positive environment to be able to not only mitigate the stress, but also to hopefully alleviate those momentary pressures, which could lead to a more cyclical emotional output. So thank you very much. And for all our viewers and listeners, Jay, can you kind of just give us kind of a thumbnail on how they can actually get in touch with you? Maybe there's someone listening to this podcast right now in Canada and say, damn it, I want in on them. How do I get a hold of you, Jay?
So just do Jay Ashton on LinkedIn and you'll find me, connect with me, message me there, and we're good to go there. That's the fastest. Or in Facebook probably as well, if there's a few people still on Facebook. No shout out there. Good supporter.
Exactly.
Definitely look at it. And send me a message. You'll see my logo, my brand up there as well. And then you can watch my shows too over there as well. But yeah.
Well, yeah, I definitely wanted to do that because for those of you who are interested in following Jay's show, I put in the Spotify link in the chat and I've also added the your LinkedIn connection. And one more comment before we leave it, which is nailed it. The fact that they know that they have the autonomy, that they use it wisely and timely, and everyone has each other's back, battle through the whirlwind and reset when needed. And of course, that's Doug Newhook, who always makes it sound like we're going to war. My wife said to me once, like, you talk about the industry like you guys are going to war. I'm like, yeah, well, sometimes that's what it feels like.
Far off.
And unfortunately, not having an employer who could provide an asset like a wellness room made it feel even more so, right? And, you know, my particular practice and focus is towards professionals and chefs who want to enjoy their careers without sacrificing their lives. And I think this particular initiative fits right in that scope. And I know Jim, who speaks endlessly and eloquently about, you know, this idea about productivity versus efficiency. Yeah, it might not necessarily be very efficient to have somebody sit down in a wellness room for 10 to 20 minutes, but it's probably going to make them a hell of a lot more productive. And I think we're going to have to fucking figure that out in the metric, Jim.
Let's do it.
Right.
We wellness room right now under the weather.
Let's figure that out. There's a way to find it through that data.
Yeah. And if you can quantify it, you can certainly put up a really good argument for why anybody would be silly not to move forward on it.
So I just want to leave on this as well is that, this is my question on this, is that you hear so many stories of people that were about to commit suicide that this one thing changed their decision on, you know, this horrific decision to end their life. If this creates one thing to save one of our chefs and our restaurant people, then it's all worth it.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. Jim, any last words for Jay or our listeners?
Well, I'm looking forward to following along here, Jay. I mean, you and I chat fairly regularly anyway, but I'm going to keep asking you, what's the latest? Where can I look at some examples? What's happening? You know, how can we help? So just appreciate you being on today. It's good to have a chat with you again.
Excellent. I want to appreciate all the comments that we received during the show. And even in replay, if you're catching this as a live stream replay on LinkedIn, Facebook, or YouTube, please leave comments because we answer and check every single one of them. And if you're already doing something like this, let us know. Take pictures. Tag us on Facebook. You know, some of us do really, really well when we have something to go by. You know, it's hard to create in a vacuum. So to see other people doing similar things, I think really provides a lot of juice. And even if you don't have a separate room that you can convert, maybe it's a table in the back of the room. And Jay, to your point, you know, this whole idea about like being more staff-centric also kind of probably leads into other conversations about what does it look like to have everybody sit down at the same table and have a meal at the same time, not to create a sense of family, because I think family is the wrong connotation within this particular industry, but certainly a cohesive team, right?
Exactly. Absolutely.
So thank you very much for listening. My name is Adam Lamb, Jim Taylor, Benchmark 60, Jay Ashton of the SVK Network. Check out his podcast, support his work, and get behind this particular initiative, the Staff Chair Project. So thanks very much, everybody, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Turning the Table with me, Adam Lamb, and Jim Taylor. This episode was sponsored by Benchmark 60. We're on a mission to change the food and beverage industry by focusing on staff mental health and well-being by forecasting and actively managing workload productivity. Over 200 restaurants and food and beverage operations have discovered for themselves how to increase staff retention and become a preferred employer in their market by using our proprietary system. If you'd like to have an operational culture that everybody wants to work for, then check out Benchmark 60 on the web at www.benchmark60.com. Thanks for taking the time to be with us and the courage to try new things for the restaurant profession's oldest problems. Turning the Table is a production of Realignment Media.